Everybody, it's really good to see you all here this morning. Welcome to those who are visitors, as Neil has already said. We've been away for the last two Sundays. Thank you very much for praying for us, if you did, in these last 2 weeks when we've been away speaking elsewhere. And thank you also on behalf of us both, both Fiona and myself, for praying for any of you who did for my mother's funeral and the arrangements around that. It was a wonderful answer to prayer, I must say. I'm going to ask you to stand, please, for the reading of Scripture. I'm going to read from Mark chapter 13. Mark chapter 13. And while you find it or while you stand up, I'm just going to pray. Lord, as we read your word, we thank you for its inspiration. We want to thank you for its power and its relevance. And Father, we do want to commit ourselves into your hands, that as we hear it read and as we preach it, as we teach it, and all of us as we listen to it, please, Lord, would you write your word upon our hearts? We commit ourselves into your hands this morning. Amen. Mark chapter 13, I'm going to read from verse 28. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When her branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you in like manner, when you shall see these things come to pass, know that it is near, even at the doors. Truly I say to you that this generation shall not pass till all these things be done. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. But of that day and that hour knows no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to command every man and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore, for you know not when the master of the house comes, at even, or at midnight, or at the cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. And one other scripture, which you don't need to turn to, from 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. The end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. The end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Do sit down. Well, we are in a series, are we not, on the Lord's return, under the title Be Ready for His Return. And I'm sure the events of the last week have only heightened in all of us that sense of the imminency of the return of the Lord Jesus, but also the dangerous days, the uncertain days in which we live, and how therefore we need to be ready for his return and for the events which the scriptures speak about leading up to that return. I'm going to speak this morning on verses 33 to the end of the chapter. And there are going to be two main things that I'm going to pick out. But just by way of introduction, we read from verse 28. I haven't got the time to explain it in detail now. But when the Lord, in this Olivet discourse, this is the big discourse on the end times and on the return of the Lord, which the Lord Jesus gave just prior to the events leading up to his death and resurrection. And this is Mark's account of the events which we read. I think more generally we tend to read Matthew's account in Matthew 24. Luke also has similar teaching, but it's divided up into two different, between two different chapters. But when the Lord speaks here in verse 28, the Lord Jesus speaks about learning a parable of the fig tree. The fig tree in Scripture very often speaks about the nation of Israel. And it is my contention, and that of many others I know, that actually what the Lord is doing here is saying, in essence, keep your eyes on what happens in Israel. Because that is the indicator of where we are in world history, and in particular to the run-up to the end times. I know, therefore, that the events of the last week have shaken many of us. They've caught many of us by surprise, if we're honest. And friends, therefore, this scripture is a reminder, just keep your eyes on what happens in Israel. And then, interestingly, in verse 30, then the Lord says, truly I say to you that this generation shall not pass until these things be done. And that's caused quite a bit of confusion amongst believers for, I suppose, ever since they were spoken, really. But one of the things I think it does mean is that actually this word generation, if that's what your Bible says, actually means race. So here's the Lord saying, this race of Israel will not pass away. This word here in verse 30 is to do with the fig tree. This race will not pass away until all these things be fulfilled. So no matter what we've seen this last week, Israel as a nation will continue to stand. No matter what may happen over the next ensuing weeks. So let's look at verse 33. This is really where I want us to focus our attention. The Lord says, of that day and of that hour knows no man except the angels who are in heaven, neither the Son but the Father. Take ye heed. That's the first thing. Take heed, the Lord Jesus says. And secondly, he says, watch. The third thing he says is pray, and we probably won't get to that this morning anyway. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. In Matthew's account, we read similar words. It says we don't know the appointed time. We don't know, let me just get it. Matthew 24 verse 36, of that day and that hour knows no man but my Father only. It's moved. Never mind. We'll just bypass that one. Take heed, watch and pray. You do not know when the time is. We are to be aware of the times and the seasons, but we won't know, of course, the exact time that the Lord Jesus will return. But in Matthew's account, it's verse 44, that's what it is. It says here, in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man will come. And the danger, friends, is that we will think that we will know when it's going to come. And so really these two words here, particularly take heed and watch, as well as pray, are a warning to us, are an encouragement to us that we need to be ready. Because we will think that we are ready. We will think that we know when that time is going to be. I'll enlarge on that a little bit later on in a few moments or two. And so Mark finishes with these three instructions. How we're to be ready for his return, the Lord Jesus says. First of all, we are to take heed. Back in verse 5 of this chapter, Jesus answering said to them, take heed lest any man deceive you. There are various things in Scripture that we are to take heed of, or take heed to. And Neil spoke a few weeks at the start of the series on this whole matter of being deceived. It is possible for us to be taken in. And so really this is a reminder at the end of the chapter here. Look, remember what I said to you. Take heed that nobody deceive you. But then in verse 9, the Lord Jesus says, take heed again. But this time it's take heed to yourselves. And this is the thing that I think really I want to underline for us as we consider this a little bit more. Because the scriptures speak a lot about taking heed to yourselves. And I'm going to give you those scriptures now. So in verse 9, which is the first of these, take heed to yourselves because of what is going to happen. Jesus says they will deliver you up to councils and the synagogues. You shall be beaten and you shall be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them. And while that was going to happen immediately after the Lord's death and resurrection in the first period of church history, nevertheless it's been true throughout church history, and it will be a mark of the end of the age, that those who are the Lord's people, those who are the Lord's children, will be persecuted, will be pursued. We will be put in difficult, challenging circumstances. And so the Lord is saying here, take heed to yourselves. My friends, this is going to happen. I cannot take you in this morning and give you a false reassurance and say everything is going to be all right. It isn't. As the days get darker, we're going to find ourselves increasingly in the front line. If it's the Jew now, it's going to be the Christians next, is what was said some years ago, and I think the same thing applies. So without wanting to create too much fear or sound too many alarm bells, really just want to say, get ready for it. Take heed to yourself. Now, of course, how we do that is another matter. And then in Luke 21, Jesus says, take heed to yourselves. Luke 21, verse 34. Be on guard, your version they have, so that your hearts will not be weighted down with certain things. So the Lord is saying, look, in the run-up to the return of the Lord Jesus, and Luke's account here is one of those accounts of the end times, be on guard lest your hearts be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the affairs of this life. Take heed to yourself that the affairs of life and that the attractions of so many things that are around us don't weigh you down and distract you and make you unprepared. Interestingly, although it's not actually to do specifically with being ready for his return, well, it's not specifically to do with his return, but I think it's very relevant for being ready for it. On one occasion, the Lord Jesus says this, take heed, if your brother sins, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. And it goes on to talk about forgiveness. We need to take heed that we maintain right relationships within the body of Christ. Take heed to yourselves. Why? Because it's very easy, isn't it? If somebody upsets you, ill-treats you, maybe they have done the wrong thing to you. Maybe it's only a perception. Maybe the beam in somebody else's eye is actually a reflection of the mote in your own eye, if you know what I'm talking about. But it's very easy, because it's human nature, to hold on to a lack of forgiveness, to hold on to a bitterness. And you may say, I forgive them, but actually the word forgive means to let go. You know, you say, I forgive, but I'm going to remember it. I'm going to hold it against them. Should the opportunity ever turn up that I need to remind them about it, I will do so. Forgiveness is a letting go and a putting effectively from the mind. Take heed to yourselves, friend, that you don't allow that kind of unforgiveness to fester in your own heart. And in the Acts of the Apostles, there's another take heed. Take heed, said Paul, to the church at Ephesus, that the elders that are there, that wolves don't come in and destroy the flock. Beware of infiltration within the church. Beware of false brethren. And then in 1 Timothy 4:16, take heed to yourself and to your teaching, says Paul to Timothy. It's not only incumbent upon those who give the word to take heed to the teaching, but also all of us to take heed to ourselves. Basically, the Lord is saying, watch out for your own behaviour. Are you obeying God as you should? Take heed that there's no evil heart of unbelief. The writer to the Hebrews says in chapter 3 and verse 12. Take heed that you're not taken astray, taken off course from following the Lord. Walk closely with him. That's how to be ready for his return, my dear friend. Take heed to yourself. And then finally on this, I think it was mentioned actually last week, 2 Peter 1 and verse 9 says, take heed to the word of God. And that is certainly in the context of the Lord's return. Take heed to the word of God. Oh, some of you are going to get bored again by the repetition from the front, but you're going to get it again. You need to know the scriptures. You need to know the scriptures. Therefore, you need to read them. Therefore, you need to be acquainted with them. And not just the bits you find easy, but the bits you find difficult. And the more difficult bits, when you read them, the easier they will get the more often you read them. Because you will know them. And then you will actually be able to understand them, because the bits that you have read elsewhere that maybe you find a bit more easy will actually throw light on the difficult bits. Give heed to the word of God. It is the more sure word of prophecy, is how Peter writes about it. It is that that will give you an indication as to the events of history that we are in and the run-up to the return of the Lord Jesus. Take heed to yourself, but take heed to the scripture as well. So that's the first thing that Mark says. And then secondly, he says, watch. Only he says it a number of times. He says it in verse 33, and he says it in verse 34. If you've got a Bible and are looking at it, it would be good to be able to read it. And he says it in verse 35, and he says it in verse 37. In fact, these chapters, Mark 13 and Mark 14, six occasions, Jesus says, watch. Matthew 24 to 26, six occasions, the Lord Jesus says, watch. So it's very important that we take note of it. Now, without wanting to split hairs, but I am actually going to try, there are two words in the original language that are translated in verses 33 to 37 here. Essentially, watching means to keep awake, to be without sleep. But here in verse 33, it actually has the idea of deliberately closing your eyes, deliberately going off to sleep. Whereas in verse 34 to 37, the word for watching there, it means to be vigilant. It means to give strict attention to something. But because the Lord Jesus goes on in verse 36 to say to the disciples, you know, watch, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. The word for sleeping there means to lie down to rest. So the hairs I'm going to try and split are these. There's a kind of sleep where you deliberately close your eyes and you nod off. But there's another kind of rest which you kind of subtly fall into. You know, kind of the after lunch slumber time. When you've had your meal and you put your feet up and you read the paper or whatever you happen to read. And you find yourself dozing off. That's the other kind of slumber. And watching is to do with those two things. Don't deliberately close your eyes and don't allow yourself to nod off. So the closing of the eyes, verse 34. Let's see, I think I'm going to apply this to verse 34, because I think this is really how the Lord is speaking about it here. So he's saying the reason you shouldn't do this is because the Son of Man is as a man taking a far journey. And he gave authority to his servants and to every man his work. And I think there are a number of ways in which we can deliberately go to sleep here. First of all, it's to do with the Lord's saying he's as a man taking a far journey. We can think in our hearts, actually, because the Lord's return is like a man returning from a far journey, it's going to take a long time. And so we deliberately close our eyes to the fact that the Lord's return is going to come suddenly. We think it's going to be for a long time. We think it's going to be a long time off. Secondly, we therefore think we've got time to get ready. That's the kind of second way in which we can be taken in. We think, it's a long time off, therefore I'm going to have plenty of warning about it. And thirdly, we think that when he comes, it's going to take a long time. There'll be plenty of kind of preamble to it, plenty of warning about it, and therefore we will find ourselves caught out. But the Lord says here that he gave authority to his servants, and the Lord gives us authority. There are a number of ways in which I'm going to refer to this. First of all, in John 1:12, he says he gives us authority to become the sons of God. To those who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave them the authority, the right, or the privilege to become the sons of God. Basically, that's saying that God gives you the authority to become the person that he intends you to be. Yes, you become a child of God initially, but childhood is then meant to go on, for you to grow into sonship, for you to grow into adulthood. And friends, the authority that the Lord has given us now is for us to become the people that he wants us to be. Are you growing in the faith? Are you becoming the person that the Lord wants you to be? Are we as a church here at Bethel Christian Assembly becoming the body, the people that he wants us to be? That he wants us to become. But very specifically here in verse 34, it says, "A man, the Son of Man, is as a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work." Very specifically, the Lord Jesus gives us authority to do certain things, and this is to do with the work that he has given to us to do. It's particularly, of course, for those with pastoral responsibility. Matthew's account goes on after this to talk about a parable of a steward who's given the charge of providing food for the household and to look after the household. And those who are in leadership within the Church of God are given the responsibility to provide that oversight, that food, that provision, to watch over the people of God. It's vital that we do that. That's part of what he's given to us to do. But to all of us, the Lord has given work to do. To all of us, there are talents the Bible speaks about, and that's not a natural gift, that's just a sum of money, that's in the parable. Basically what the Lord is saying, I've given you the responsibility of my life within you, of my grace given to you, of spiritual abilities, of spiritual gifts, and it's up to you to make something of them. Now, how you do that is another sermon in itself, but basically the Lord is saying, I've given you a job to do. And so my challenge to us all, friend, is if we're going to be ready for his return, is that we need to understand what the Lord has given to us to do. Understand what the will of God is, it says in Ephesians 5. Paul writes there in Ephesians 5. You see, it is possible for us to be fearfully busy and yet not be doing what God has given to us to do. It is possible to to not do what the Lord has given to us to do, simply because we bury what God has given to us to do. We hear the charge, do something, and we say, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to bother about that. It's like burying the talent. But my friends, it's also saying that we need to recognize that it is ultimately His work. We are called to walk in the good works that He has prepared for us to walk in before. Look, I can't do the work of God. You can't do the work of God. But He can do it in you, can't He? He works in us that which is good and well-pleasing in His sight. And He then says to us, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So can I ask you, what are you working at? Are you burying yourself in a hive of activity, Christian or otherwise? Are you getting distracted and thinking, well, I think I'd rather like to do this, so you go off and you do that or the other? And actually you miss what the Lord has given to you to do. Friend, every one of us will have to give account of what we have done with what God has given to us. We can't escape it. And depending on how we've done, there will be a reward or otherwise. So we need to be ready. He has given authority to His servants. You have authority to become the person you want to do, and you have the authority to understand from the Lord, or the ability, the potential, I should say, to know from the Lord that which He has given to you to do, and to get on and do it, because He's given us His grace and He's given us His Spirit. Praise the Lord. So don't rest and don't drop your guard. I read a scripture from 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7. And this is Peter's kind of version of what the Lord Jesus is saying. He's saying here, first of all, the end of all things is at hand. The end of all things is at hand. And really what he's saying there, I mean, he could have been thinking about various things at the time that he was writing. Maybe the end of his own life. Maybe the end of the Roman Empire. Maybe that period of church history. But basically, this word end here means to do with a limit or a conclusion, the result of a purpose that has been set out. And so here, really through Peter, the Lord is saying to us, there is a conclusion, there is a goal to which everything is going. And my friends, the events of the past week are part of that goal. Don't think that God is completely out of control. These things are coming to a conclusion. And what we've seen is just a step along the way. Therefore, because the end of all things is at hand, actually, I understand that the literal translation, the end of all things has been brought near. It's in the past tense. So these things are already here. I forget the exact words. Therefore, it says two things, and the different translations say it in slightly different ways, and I'm going to just take it from the version I've got in front of me. I'm not going to tell you what version that is. It says, first of all, be sober, and your word, your second word here may be translated sober. I will explain it to you as we go through. So first of all, be sober. So how are we to watch? I'm looking at this because actually this is a clue for how we're to watch. We are to be sober. That doesn't mean that you're to go round with a long face. It means that you're to have a sound mind. That's really what it means here. Your version may have stay on the alert, or it may have be of a sound mind. But that's really what the word means. Be of a sound mind. So friends, if we're going to be ready for the Lord's return, we need to have a proper perspective on things. We need to be those who think clearly, who think straight. That's why the Apostle Paul to the Romans says, be renewed in your mind. And elsewhere, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that's another reason why you should get into the Word, because it is only the Word of God that can actually adjust your thinking. What do you base your thinking on? What influences your thinking? Can I ask you? Because if you let the wrong things affect your thinking, you're not going to be ready for his return. You have been given, says Paul to Timothy, not a spirit of fear, but a spirit of, this is the Holy Spirit, but a spirit of power and of a sound mind. It is the Holy Spirit who can give you that sound mind. He's the only one who can. But if you have received the Spirit of God, you can have that sound mind. You can have that right perspective on things. So friends, we do need, as part of watching, we do need to be those who look at the news, or try and look at the news anyway, through a heavenly perspective. Lord, what are you saying? How do you see this that's going on? And sometimes, of course, it may take a little bit of time to come to that right perspective. And that's one of the reasons it's good to pray corporately and to be part of a church corporately and to share in fellowship groups and to discuss things together and to look at the Word of God together. Because you on your own will not have the complete perspective. Actually, it may surprise you to hear that, but you won't know it all. I won't know it all either. But together, you and I together, as we share together, may actually get a little bit more of a perspective, a right perspective on things. So, be sober, have a sound mind. And then it says, and this is the Authorized Version, I said I wouldn't say to you, but I have told you anyway. It says, be sober and watch. Or it may say in your version, stay on the alert. It's a different word from the watching that you find in Mark's Gospel. This one means to be free from intoxicants, which I think is really good. Can I ask, I'll put it in terms of a question. What is intoxicating you? What affects your vision? What clouds that perspective? 1 Thessalonians 5 and verses 6 to 8 read like this. Therefore, let, and this is in the context of the return of the Lord, therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep in the night, and those that are drunk in the night. What are you imbibing? What are you drinking in this night season of life? There was an article I read in the Telegraph yesterday, and I think it was very perceptive, really. It's, at least I thought it was, by a professor in Oxford. Yeah, because he went to the right university, he must have been right. It was talking about, he was talking about that the West has entered a new era of darkness. Well, if he's right, we're in a night season. That's the time that people get drunk, because it's the only way that we can cope with the darkness, with the disappointments, with what's happening around us. We bury our heads. We lose our heads. Well, I hope you know what I'm trying to drive at, really. Don't get drunk. Don't get intoxicated by certain things. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. So instead of our thinking being so drowned out by whatever, it may not be drink, it might be drink in your case. It might be just watching, binge watching. It might be what you read. It might be whatever. Instead of that, we should be putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And when it says put these things on, it means make them part of your life. They're there for you, of course, by faith in Christ, but make them part of your life. And for a helmet, the hope of salvation. Because you and I have been called to an eternal destiny, an eternal future with the Lord. So the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch. Those are the two things that I just think the Lord wants to underline for us today. Are you taking heed? Are you on the alert? Are you taking heed to yourself? Watch out for your own life. Don't let anything of that old sinful nature start to get a grip of you again. Walk with the Lord. Take heed to yourself. Make sure you follow the Lord closely. And then watch. Stay on the alert. In fact, let me summarize the watching. I think there are three things here. We can summarize it as follows. Watching means three things. Number one, be aware. Be informed and don't be dulled. That's the first thing. Be aware. Secondly, be awake. Understand the times. And thirdly, be alert. Don't get caught out. Those are the two things. And by way of conclusion, the Lord Jesus says, take heed and watch and pray. Peter says, be sober, watch for the purpose of prayer. So all these things really we've been looking at are so that we may be able to pray more effectively. In these final chapters in Matthew and Mark, Jesus says a number of times, watch and pray. So that, for example, we don't enter into temptation. You and I need to up our prayer lives. We need to make sure that we maintain that close relationship with the Lord so that we can pray. Let me finish with Luke's account of those same word. Luke chapter 21 and verse 36 reads like this. And let me read from verse 34 again. Be on guard so that your hearts will not be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the worries of life, and that day will not come on you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. But keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have the strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. How are we to pray? What are we to pray for? Friends, we need to pray that we will come through these difficult times and be able to stand before the Son of Man complete. That we're not overwhelmed by these things, that we're not overcome by these things, but Lord, that by the Lord's grace we come through them in victory. He has given us authority to be able to do that. Shall we pray, please? There's a little chorus that goes, lift up your heads to the coming King. Bow before him. Sing, let your praises be pure and holy, giving glory to the King of Kings. Lord, we do want to pray that you would help us to lift our heads. We do want to pray that you will help us in our lives, every one of us, to live in such a way that we are ready for your return. Where we need to take heed to something, please help us to do that. And where we need to watch more closely, please help us do that, Lord, we pray. And Lord, would you give us an understanding? Help us as we continue to seek to pray about the events unfolding in the Middle East. Please help us to know something of your timetable and of your purposes so that we may pray right in line with your will, not only for the Jewish people, but for many others as well. And for ourselves, that we will escape these things and be able to stand before you. We give you all the glory and praise. Amen.